Joshua 4:1 through 7, we are told, "And it came to pass, when all the people had crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." 12 stones, one for each tribe, one representative from each tribe, so that they would all remember, and they were to carry them on their shoulders, which meant they were pretty big stones. And we were told previously in chapter 3 that when the feet of the priests that were carrying the ark stepped into the river, and they stepped in faith because the river was overflowing the banks, the waters stopped, and they piled up very far off, and the ground was dry, and the priests were standing on dry ground, and all the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. Now that's a miracle, right? And they all witnessed it. And so God told them to take 12 stones and to make a memorial to the Lord, not to Joshua, to the Lord, so that they would remember what God had done for them. God wanted to make sure they didn't forget. He had told them in Deuteronomy 6:12, "Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And as we read these stories, we sometimes ask, how could they forget what all the Lord had done? He not only dried up this river, but we know the story of when he parted the Red Sea, which was quite miraculous. But in Psalm 78:10 through 11, we are told, "They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them." This was their history. They had forgotten God over and over again. Like the Israelites, we can forget God. Has there ever been a day where you have forgotten to pray? Maybe for a meal? Or when you're getting on the freeway, which I think we all should do, coming and going and throughout the whole time? Or what about in a conversation? We forget. We just start talking and we forget to pray. Sometimes we forget to read the Bible. Sometimes our lives are so busy that we get up in the morning and there's not time, and we purpose in our hearts to read it in the evening, and then we're too tired and a day has passed. Sometimes we forget to ask God to help us make a decision or to thank him. And perhaps sometimes not just a day passes, but a week or a month or years. I can tell you that for so many years, I spent so much time forgetting these things, forgetting to do these things, that I began to think like the world, I began to look like the world, and I began to act like the world. I was just like the Israelites. I did not keep the covenant of God, I refused to walk in his law, and I forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown me, and I was saved. I woke up one day with the thoughts, how did I get here? How could I walk so far away? And how could I forget? How could I forget? In James 1:14, we are told, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." That's how we forget. We're drawn away by our own desires and we're enticed. When we are drawn away from a sense of God's presence, we forget he's there. We forget that he's waiting to be included in every part of our lives, and we forget that he wants to be as close to us as he can because he knows how much we need him. We are drawn away by our own desires and enticed when life gets too busy. When we have small children, life is really busy. Or when some of us have entered careers, which I did, life got really busy. We get too busy to pray and too busy to read our Bible. Life gets too distracting. Need I say anything more than social media? Social media is very distracting. We get drawn away by the desires of this world to have more and to be more. It's always in front of us. And sometimes sin becomes more enticing. These are the times where we really need him. And yet we forget to pray, we forget to ask him to help us, to read his word, and to include him in everything that we're doing. Sometimes we forget when we have financial problems. We forget God owns everything, and he has promised to provide everything we need. When our children start rebelling, we forget that God has told us that if we will train up a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Now, there's a part we can do, and there's a part only God can do. And we have to learn to entrust our children into his hands. When our marriage gets in trouble, we forget that nothing is too hard for him. His arm is not too short to save. When our health starts failing, we forget he holds our breath in his hands. And that's Job 12:10. And he determines the length of our days, not the doctors. And that's Job 14:5. Fear sets in and we doubt God's faithfulness. Life gets hard and we're ready to give up. Or God takes too long and we take things into our own hands. We forget what his word says. We forget what he has promised us. We forget what he's told us personally. We forget what he's done for us, and we forget about his faithfulness in the past. At a very hard time in my life, I remember I was driving my car, and I was crying, and I hit the steering wheel, and I said, I can't take this anymore. And I heard his gentle, quiet, loving, kind voice say, what more can I do? And it broke my heart. Because at that point, he had done so many miraculous things in my life. How could I forget? He died for us. Is there anything he won't do for us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And that's Romans 8:32. One of the saddest verses I read when I was preparing this message is found in Jeremiah 2:32. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. My people have forgotten me days without number. And this was my story. But in Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16, God tells us, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hand. Our names are written in his nail-scarred hands, and he will never forget us. Satan wants us to forget because when we forget, we're just like the Israelites, aren't we? We murmur and we complain. We're fearful. We take things into our own hands. We go back to our own ways. We doubt God. Fear and doubt are emotions that will come and go. We're all going to have them. Even David had them. The Psalms tell us about David's doubts and fears. But in Psalm 56:3, David said this, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. When we choose to remember what God has told us, what he has promised us, what he has done in the past, and who he is, our faith starts to replace our fear and doubt. Our faith is based on his faithfulness. And he is faithful. Even when we are faithless, he's faithful. Faithfulness means when you say you're going to do something, you do it. God has promised to be with us, to help us, to provide for us, to protect us, to never leave us, and the list goes on and on. and he will keep his promises to us. We are told in 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. Not one promise has failed. And in Ezekiel 12:28, the Lord God himself tells us, the word which I speak will be done. Has God given you a word? He will do it. He might not do it in the time that we want him to, but he will do it. God will do what he says he will do. God tells us to trust me with all of your heart. Don't try to figure things out. Keep your eyes on me, and I will work everything out for you. I am with you. I am for you. I love you. I am good. I am sovereign. And when we remember what he has said and who he is, it increases our faith. And when we remember what God has done in the past, it gives us the faith to believe that he will do the same thing in the future. It's really important to remember. That's why God tells us in Deuteronomy 4:9, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. We don't mean to forget, but sometimes we do. We don't forget on purpose, but we must learn to purpose to remember. So how do we purpose to remember? By remembering what his word says, by remembering his promises, by remembering what he's told us personally, by remembering what he's done in our lives and in the lives of others. Journaling is one of the best ways I know to remember what God has done in our lives. When we write things down, we remember the verses he gives us, the answered prayers, the things he has spoken to us personally, and the things he's done through our lives and for us. When we write notes and dates in our Bible and highlight the verses he's given us, we remember. When my marriage was in trouble, God gave me Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. And I can tell you the waters did not overflow and the flames did not scorch. When my daughter, my only child, moved to Montana with my only grandchild, the Lord gave me Ruth 3:18. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. And he also gave me John 13:7. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And I do understand now why they had to move. The morning of a very serious surgery, I received Isaiah 58:8. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And the Lord did heal me. There are notes and dates by these verses, and I will never forget what he's told me. If we will go through our Bible and mark and review these things, we will remember. This summer, I went through my study Bible that has all my notes. Everything's underlined. I transferred over all my old Bibles to one Bible. I went through it during the summer, and I can tell you, it caused me to remember all the great things he has done, and it really blessed me. Another way to remember is to write the scriptures God gives us on 3x5 cards, put a rubber band around them, carry them with you everywhere. Read them when you need to be encouraged, daily if you need to. In Joshua 4:3, the Lord told the Israelites to take the stones and leave them in their lodging place. Our homes are a place we can keep our stones of remembrance. Framing our favorite promises and hanging them on the wall or putting them on tables or in bookcases help us to remember what God has told us. Pictures can remind us of his faithfulness. When I was preparing this message and I came to this place where I thought about pictures, I thought of a picture of my daughter. It was her high school graduation, and she was standing in our family room, and she was in a royal blue dress. And she's 44 now, so that was a lot of years ago. She was surrounded by friends and family, and she was laughing. And I remember looking at her and the Lord letting me know that she was going to be okay. Because we'd spent a lot of years dealing with rebellion. And I just had that sense that everything was going to be okay and that we are at the end of it. And it was a really sweet memory. On my refrigerator, I have 4x6 clear plastic frames that have magnets on them, and I have pictures of my 3 grandchildren. I love those pictures. They're really special memories of what God has done. Just today, my cousin sent me a picture of her sister. And she's sitting in a rocking chair and she's reading a book. And she's she's sitting behind a big glass picture window. We used to call them picture windows. I don't know if they do anymore. But she's sitting there reading a book, and you can just see this glass reflecting. And this is what my cousin wrote to her. My favorite thing about this picture is Daddy's reflection. He was the one taking the picture. It reminded me that oftentimes we forget there is a Heavenly Father who cherishes his child so much that he cannot take his eyes off them. If there were but a plate glass window or a heavenly mirror that we could look into, we might see his reflection, always watching, always loving the one who belongs to him. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing to remember? Frame the really special moments. Special moments become memories in our heart, especially when we're older. Someone once told me they had actual stones in a basket in their home, and they had written words on the stones to remind them of God's faithfulness. Words like marriage and children and grandchildren and health and forgiveness and provision. You could also write scriptures on them or the names of God. It's such a good idea. When people come into their home, they ask them, what do these stones mean? And they get an opportunity to share their story. When I was writing this, I thought, why haven't I done this? And I knew about this a long time ago. I have children and grandchildren that come into my home, and how great that would be to have a basket where we can go over what God has done. Then I remembered I do have 2 stones in my home. One day I was down at the beach praying and reading, and as I got up to leave, I had a sense that God wanted to show me something, and I looked down at the base of a tree, and I saw a heart-shaped rock. And I picked it up, and immediately he brought to my mind Ezekiel 11:19. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. And that's what God did for my husband and me. So I wrote on the back Ezekiel 11:19, San Clemente Beach, April 3rd, 2004. And I had to go searching for it because I couldn't remember where I had put it. So it's now on my dresser by a picture of my husband. There's another stone there, and it has the words Jehovah Rapha, He healeth. And we had a retreat once called The Names of God. I don't know if you were there, but when we walked in, we were given a scripture promise card with the name of God on it. And I got Jehovah Rapha, He healeth. And I thought, I don't want that name. As if any name of God would be a bad one to get, but I thought, that probably means I'm going to get sick, and I don't want that name. I wanted Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Jireh, He provides our peace. But that's the one I got. And so at the end of the retreat, the speaker on the stage told us that there were stones, hundreds and hundreds of stones around the stage, turned upside down, and there were the names of God on those stones. And they wanted us to go pick a stone, and that would be our name from the Lord. And I think they even told us, don't put it back. That's your name. Just take the one that you get. So I went to the left side of the stage. I remember very clearly. And I picked up a stone, and it said, Jehovah Rapha, He healeth. And I thought, I don't want that stone. And I put it back. And I'm very compliant, and I cannot believe I did that, but I did that. And I went to the other side of the stage and picked up another stone, and I got, yes, Jehovah Rapha. And it was as if the Lord was saying, wouldn't you want me to heal you? I have healed you. I will heal you again. That was the name He wanted me to remember. Didn't want to share that story, but it's such a good story. God is so faithful. Once God gave me the idea to have the ladies in my Joyful Life group pick only one name of God to describe who he was to them and to share why. If you could choose only one word to describe who God is to you, what would that word be? I can tell you there's a stone of remembrance attached to that word, and probably a testimony. My word was mercy. And when I asked my husband what his word would be, he told me loving kindness. And loving kindness and mercy mean exactly the same thing. And that's what our testimony, that's what God did in our marriage. Songs can be stones of remembrance. When God was rebuilding our marriage, which meant rebuilding us, Refiner's Fire and Purify My Heart became two songs that meant a whole lot to us, and they still do today. But one of my favorite ways to remember the great things God has done is through sharing with girlfriends over lunch or coffee. Sharing God's faithfulness with each other, what he's done in our lives, increases our faith. And it causes us to celebrate his goodness. Whenever I leave those lunches, I am so lifted up, and so are my girlfriends. What better way to spend our time, right? Talking about his faithfulness. I think we really miss an opportunity when we don't spend time sharing our stories with each other. Hearing what God has done in the lives of others gives us the faith to believe that he'll do the same thing for us. And he will. He might do it a little bit differently, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not have favorites. Let's share with each other. Let's ask each other what our stories are. Let's purpose to remember. We will never forget who he is and the great things he's done if we talk about him when we get together with each other. That's why this Joyful Life Bible study is so important. We spend time remembering and sharing and talking about how great he is. David said this in Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Like David, let's magnify the Lord. Let's exalt his name together. Giving God all the glory for the great things he has done. Remembering and sharing increases our faith. It gives us hope. It strengthens us. It helps us to wait on him. It keeps our focus on him. And it causes us to be thankful. You know, a thankful heart will always remember who God is and what he's done. I'd like to close with the words of a song that always causes me to remember all the wonderful things he's done for me. And I have so much thanksgiving in my heart when I hear this song. It's called My Tribute. I'm not going to sing it, Jennifer. It's called My Tribute. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. Let's purpose to remember how great God is and what great things he's done so that we never forget all the days of our lives. Father, we just ask you to forgive us for the times we have forgotten you, and we ask you, Father, that you would please remind us to remember you. How sad it is that we have to be reminded, but oh, Father, you have so much to tell us and so much to show us, and you've done so much in the past that we never want to forget what you've done. So help us to purpose to remember so that we never forget. In Jesus' name, amen.